Thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send not me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. Would you ask the Lord to help me just for a little while this morning? Father, I beg of you, Lord, that you would walk among us this morning. I need you, God. I need the touch of the Lord. I need the anointing of God. Praise the Lord. Want to talk to you this morning, just for a little while, about a very, very serious little subject. What I will title this morning, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Will the Circle Be Unbroken? When you look at us and our makeup, we as families, we are made up so different. Fathers love their children different than mothers. Fathers love them as much as mothers do. Just a different kind of love. We are, and I don't want you to take offense at what I'm about to say, but sometimes you mothers are almost silly with your love for your children. And it is sometimes that children are in question as to what their mother is doing and what she means. For one minute they are spanking them, and then the very next minute it's a hug and a kiss. One minute they're being corrected and then turned right around and almost being loved. The description, and when I was thinking about this morning, the description, here's really the best way I could describe it. You mothers are almost like a barking dog. Hey man, that's barking and showing his teeth at the same time wagging his tail. And you don't know whether to reach down and pet him or whether to run. I mean, that's the way y'all are. You're made up like that. Come on now. You really are. You're just made up that way. And so there's not a problem with that. Hey man, a father will play and play and play with his child. And, you know, even as pastor and as grandpa now and loving all these children and these babies and I really newborn babies, I'm not really all that fond of. I mean, they're all right, But I like them when they smile at you and they can, pull your ears and your nose and your glasses, and they reach for your pen and they play with you. And we fathers, we know how to play with children. Amen. But all of a sudden, let them begin to start screaming. And we say, here, Mom, you take it away now. Amen. That's the way we are. We are just made up different. Amen. We do not, know how to all the time calm the fears of a child. We don't know how to stop the crying of a child. Mothers seem to have just that tuition, whatever it is, amen, that causes that child, amen, to feel secure and causes him to feel the nurture and the protection of that mom. But I want to preach to you, if I can, a while this morning. Amen. And I want to take just a change the words of this just a little bit, if I can. And I want to preach to you, and I want to ask three questions this morning, and I want to deal with three little things. And the first thing I want to deal with is, mother, amen, is it well with you? Come on now, help me preach a while. Amen. You understand that it is important that mothers are godly Christian mothers. I want to ask you, for the circle to remain unbroken, there must be some work put into it. Come on now. And so we will begin with Mom this morning. Even children may not remember all of the houses that they live in. Even they may not remember all of the furniture. They will never remember all of their toys. They will probably never remember all of the colors of their bedrooms. They will never remember even every good thing you've done for them. Amen. But home is not a building. Do you hear me this morning? I said home is not a building. I drove by yesterday with Garrett and I showed him Bill Eisenhower's place. He's got a beautiful farm. I showed him the little house that they lived in, a little white frame house that they lived in. And then a little later they moved into a brick house just a little farther. And then after he sold the funeral homes, I showed Garrett, I said, look way up on the hill now. Do you see that big old house up there? Their children's now gone. Their family's gone. It's just Mr. and Miss Eisenhower. And look at that big old mansion they built now to live in. I'll tell you that home is not a building. We pride so much in providing so much for the material things of life. Amen. But home is not a building. Home is not radios. Home is not entertainment. Home is not vacations. Home is not cars. Home is not toys. Amen. But home is a mama and a daddy and a family. Come on now. Do you notice I said it is a mama and a daddy? Is it not strange that in this world that we have to specify? But I want you to know this morning that God's word, amen, still declares that it's one man for one woman. Amen. And the twain of them become one flesh, and they make up a home. You know, I told you, and I told you the other day, Sharon and I, when we got married, we lived over here on 45th Street. That little house, and we shared the bathroom with the drunk. And I think I gave about $50 a month for that house. Wasn't very much, but I know that when we got a chance to move over here off of Walker on probably 27, 28, somewhere in there on Walker. We got a chance to move over there into a little rent house for $65 a month. Man, we thought we were in hog heaven. Come on now. Amen. I mean, we were so blessed of God. Amen. And then, amen, our first child came and Brent was born. And Brother Melvin, I want you to know that there's been nothing, amen, that touches a man's life except when a son is born. Come on now. Amen. But I want to tell you that a home and a family, amen, is a mom and a dad. I want to tell you, you mothers make the home. I work with a man and he and I become good friends. But his wife ran off and left him for another man. And he's raising two boys, one 14 and one 10. Amen, raising them alone. Amen, he comes in and I look at him. Amen, his hair is unruly, terribly bad. Amen, sometimes he comes in, his clothes are not ironed the best. Amen. But when I visit with him and when I talk to him, I see a man. Amen. That's trying to keep a home together without a mom. I'm telling you, it's a difficult task. Come on. I said it's a difficult task. Amen. For you moms make up the home. Amen. Mom is like the foundation. We like to be the rock, but we're too hard-headed. Amen. Sometimes we're too quick-tempered. But it takes a mom that will be a foundation, that will be a rock, that will be stable, that will be solid, amen, that will be a place that they can run to. Moms, some way, have different compassion than dads. When children cut their finger or get a sticker in, they'll run to mom. And she'll pull the sticker, or she'll put a Band-Aid and kiss it. And the child seems contented. Come on now. Now we dads, we have a little different approach, don't we? We pull the sticker out and say, now be a man and shut up. Be a man and hush. Quit that crying. You nowadays you go to town and you see some of these little heathens that these mothers are raising, reprobates, you hear me? They really are. Hey, man, you hear them screaming and yelling in the store. You hear them cursing their mother and cursing their father. Come on now. Hey, man, I'll tell you what they need. They need a good solid mother. Amen. With a good solid hand. Amen. That knows how to hold a home together. Come on. Amen. Amen. Mother is the greatest consolation. Amen. She's the greatest consoler. Amen. Of the family. The greatest contribution you mothers, amen, can make to your children. I know sometimes we think it is. Amen. My wife takes it after her mother. And sometimes I get so irritated. Not all the time, but sometimes I do. Amen. I'm ready to go. I'm in the car. I'm waiting. Amen. Or I've called her and I've said, we want to leave now at this certain time. And I come in, and instead of her getting dressed and ready, amen, she's got up and she's made the bed. Amen. Then she's cleared all the cabinets and put everything in the dishwasher. If it was dirty, if it was clean, she emptied it and then put them in there. And I come in and we're not ready to go because she is still trying to do everything. I've told her before, leave the bed alone. Nobody's going to be here all day and we'll be gone. And when we get in, it's time to crawl back in. Why do you want to waste the time making it up? But she does. Come on now. Amen. Mothers, but listen to me. Those things that you feel are so important. Amen. When I get ready now to go work a funeral, amen, she pulls my pants out. She presses them. I haul flowers and I hug a lot of flowers now. And so she gets all the flower dust off of my jackets. And she prepares me to go back. Come on now. But I want to tell you, the contribution that you make is not all of your laundry work. And we do appreciate that. And I want you to know that I never go to my drawer that I don't have socks and I don't have clean t-shirts. Come on now. I said I never go to my drawer that they're not folded and put in place. But I want to tell you, your main contribution is not the laundry that you do. Your main contribution is not the meals that you cook. Amen. It is not the fact that you keep us clean and you keep us neat. Amen. It is not even the care that you give us when we're sick. But I ought to tell you, the greatest contribution that you can give your children is to give them a Christian mother. Give them the attributes of a godly home and a mother that knows how to pray. We understand you know how to cook. Look at us. We can appreciate your cooking. But I want to tell you the attributes of a godly mother. Your husband and your children, they may forget every meal you prepared. They may forget every bit of laundry that you've done. They may forget every sleepless night you spent, but they will never forget, amen, your devotion to God. They will never forget your Bible reading. Amen. Sister Shirley's not here this morning. Amen. But I'll dare say of her four children that's here, amen, they could stand this morning. They could tell us Bible stories that their mother told them. You may not remember everything, but you remember things that she told you. Did you hear our godly mother stand this morning? And Sister Edwards told us that my mother instilled in us, and to her, the words that we heard often were, do not steal, do not lie. Come on now. How come she remembers those? It was because that godly mother instilled godly principles in a child. Come on, you're forming lives. You're molding souls. You're forming them for eternity and for judgment. Come on, give them the greatest thing that this world's ever had, and that's a godly mother. Do your part to see that the circle is not unbroken. Do your part to see that those children are prepared to meet God. Oh, what an impression you're making on your children. One day, and you know, all of a sudden I realize how fast that it's coming. One day, there'll be someone else in this pulpit. One day I will be sitting on the side. And one day, your children will be standing to remember what you were to them. Well, I want to be their friend. I don't want to discipline. Let me tell you something. If there's no discipline, there's no love. Come on. I said, if there's no discipline, there's no love. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in spanking. I want to tell you, you hear me. I realize and I know that spanking is not always the answer. But if you don't believe the Bible, you just spare the rod and you'll spoil the child. I'm telling you, there is sometimes they need a spanking. Do you hear me? I don't believe they need to be beat. Come on now. I don't believe they need to be abused. Amen. I'm not sure they really need their face slapped. Amen. I really don't know. My mom, my mom in church, I'll guarantee you, amen, she didn't have to take you outside. Amen. But I've been set close enough that when I'd get out of line, she'd reach her little hand over there and somewhere right there on my leg, amen, she'd pinch a place. And I knew I needed to straighten up. Come on now. Amen. I want to tell you, every once in a while, they need to be taken to the bedroom and they need to be laid down over the bed and they need the leather applied to the place that God prepared to apply the leather. Come on now. I said, and if you don't do that, you are going to spoil them children and turn them over to the devil, and their souls will be in hell. Because the Bible's still right. They need spanking every once in a while. I've never met a child that didn't. Amen. I think Christy was probably as near perfect as any. But I'll tell you, there was probably a time I would have spanked her. And I thought she probably needed it. Instead, I drove all the way to Texas and took her out and got her a Sunday, didn't we, or something? We went to Dairy Queen. And I just sat down across the table from her. I really wanted to spank her that day. But I didn't. I let her know how much I loved her, how concerned I was for her. Come on now. They need that sometimes. I said, they need that sometimes. Amen. Sister Angie, when we're there, or when they're here, she now takes Emily plumb outside, or plumb to another room, or plumb to the other part of the house, before she spanks her. And then I let her turn her back and I get her over on my lap. So that's all right, baby. You know, now I'm a grandpa. Sharon's dad told me Brent didn't need as many as he got either. Well, I thought he did. I thought he did. Grandpa's, it's harder on us, ain't it? Sure is. But I'll tell you, they still need it. Amen. They will never forget your Bible reading and your praying. They will never forget you taking them to church. But I'll tell you something. Sister Stephanie, they'll never forget. They'll never forget when others are worshiping. And the power of God hits Sister Stephanie and she comes out from between them seats. When Sister Tammy comes out, come on. They never forget seeing the power of God on their mother. What about giving them a show? What about letting it fall on you? What about letting it fall on you more? What about giving them some memories of their mother in the house of God? You must do your part for the circle to remain unbroken. Now then, fathers, he said, mother, is it well with you? And then he said, what about your husband? Fathers, is it well with you? Do you leave the spiritual leadership up to your wife? Is she the spiritual leader of your home? She may be the rock. She may be the glue. But she don't need to be the leader. They need a spiritual leader. Father, is it well with you this morning? Are you doing your part to see that the circle is unbroken? When you think about this for a minute, when the responsibility of children come, and I told you one of the greatest points and highlights of my life was when Brent was born. And I remember the first time that I carried him in church. I didn't let Sharon carry him in. The first time we went, I wanted to carry him in. Because that was my son. When that responsibility comes into your hands, when you realize that in your arms, you're holding life. And I have a responsibility to see that that circle remains unbroken. I must be the spiritual leader. I must cry, Lord, if you've ever made a man out of me, make one out of me now. Because now I have footsteps. Now I have a shadow. Now I must see that the circle remains unbroken. You see, mother can't do it alone. She has to have the help of her father. I read this week about an old preacher, and I don't really know much about him. I don't have any books by him. I just read an autobiography of him. And I'm going to find some books. He wrote 40 books. So I know that they're there. I'm going to find some from him. His name was Appleman. When I read this story about Mr. Appleman, he was from a Jewish family. He was from a very wealthy Jewish family. This Jewish family, they came into America. He attended the very best college, got a law degree. And somewhere after he got that law degree, as he was a young man, he got saved and got converted. And when he got saved, he felt like he needed to go into the ministry. And so he went and told his father, "I'm not going to practice law anymore. I'm going to lay down my law degree. And I'm going to go into the ministry. I'm going to Bible school. And when I come out, I'm going to preach." Brother Melvin, I read the account of that man. His father told him, he said, "Son, I'm going to disown you. I'm going to disinherit you. And when you become that poor preacher that I know you're going to become, you come around by my house and I'll throw you a few crumbs of bread like I would to any other stray dog, and you may eat the crumbs from my table." This man started evangelizing. Not only evangelizing, he then started preaching meetings. He started preaching large meetings. When I read about him, he said that he was home 2 weeks out of the year, and the other 50 weeks out of the year, he was preaching. They said many times, 2 and 3 times a day, this man would preach. The meetings grew large. Many people were saved and many people were touched. This man, when he got offerings, would give nearly every bit of them offerings back. He said, he wrote one day in his book, and he said, "My children, when they go to college, are going to have to work to pay their way to college." He said, "I have become a poor man. I have stayed a poor man because I want God to feed me and I want God to take care of me. And I've kept enough money to survive on, but the extra I've given it away and back into the ministry because I don't want money to become my God. I want God to take care of me." When I read about that man, and then when I read that his children, He said, I would rather them think that George Washington was a horse thief. And I'd rather them think that Abraham Lincoln was one of the Jesse James boys. And I'd rather them think that the Apostle Paul was a crooked preacher as to not have faith in their dad and his ministry in which he carried. And I said, "Great God." He wrote these words, and I want you to listen to these words that he wrote. He said, "I would rather die 24 hours before I committed one act or before I did one deed that would cause my children or my wife to lose confidence in my walk with God." A man that knew how to be a father. Though away preaching, his children loved him and they loved his ministry. I wrote in that autobiography, they wrote about one of his boys. He says, "Of course, we believed in immersion, in baptism." And his little son at the age of 4, I believe he said, amen, had his little sister down on the floor. And the mother heard her head banging against the floor. And she ran in there and said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm baptizing her. She needs to be baptized." But their ministry and their father, "Let me die 24 hours before I do anything that will cause my boy to doubt my experience." The greatest contribution you fathers can give just like your mother, is give them a godly, God-fearing, God-honoring father. Now then, I'm going to close in just a moment. If mother does their part and father does their part, I'm going to ask you, is it well with you, son? Is it well with you, daughter? Mother and father can only go so long, then the responsibility falls upon your shoulders. Many times we as children sometimes ask, what do my parents want from me? What do my parents expect from me? What do my parents ask of me? And I want to tell you what we ask of you this morning. And that is that you take all that we have, and that you take all that we are, and you serve Jesus Christ. Have I lived good enough that my children and my grandchildren can live like me and go to heaven? Be a Christian example. Be a servant of Christ. We don't want anything in return. We want you to serve Jesus. That's what we want. I read a little story this week in studying and preparing to preach. Will the circle be unbroken? Sister Becky, I want you to come. And I believe it's 375. Have thine own way, Lord. I want you to get ready to sing a little of that for me. We're going to do a little different this morning. But I read a story about a man and his daughter. Mother packed them a big lunch and they got in the boat and they were fixing to go spend the day on the lake fishing. They rowed out to the middle of the lake. The father said, we fished all morning. It was such a beautiful day. We anchored both ends of the boat. We were just sitting out there in the middle of the lake. I was enjoying my daughter. I was enjoying a picture-perfect day. We sat there and we fished. We ate the lunch that mother packed. While my daughter fished, I laid back in the back of the boat and read a book. And then took a little nap. All of a sudden, about 5 o'clock, he said, I felt some rain begin to fall, and all of a sudden I looked. The sun was gone, the clouds had come, the storm was on. By the time we could pull the anchors, the wind was blowing fiercely. The storm was raging. All of a sudden, the dark clouds came, and he said it got dark early, and there was no sunlight, there was no light. It was so dark. The man said, I began to try to row against the storm. He said, I rowed, and I rowed, and I rowed, and then I realized that I was lost. Because of the rain, because of the storm, I could see no land. I could see nothing. I didn't know where I was at. My little girl said to me, Daddy, are we lost? No, baby, I don't think so. We'll be all right. He said, I kept rowing, and after a while, my little girl said, Daddy, over your shoulder, I see a light. Mama said when we left this morning, if we stayed out past dark, she'd put a light in the window so we'd know where the house was at. I see the light. So he said to her, honey, his back was to the light. He was rowing with all that he had against the storm. He said, honey, please keep your eye on the light. Tell Dad which way to go. And she'd tell him, a little to the right, a little to the left. No, you're going straight on. That's good. No, turn a little, Dad, to the left. After a while, they rowed up on the shore. He said he threw the oars down, grabbed his little girl, ran in the house, grabbed his wife, said to her, "Thank you. Thank you for the light." The little girl said, "Mama, we made it home safe because we were steered by your light." Can they make it home safe? Steered by your light. Can they make it home safe? Steered by your light. We're going to do something a little different this morning. If you, Dustin and Michael, y'all grab them altars and pull them over here against the pew, against the stage, if you will. Both of them. Kind of scoot them down, leave this middle step open, if you will. Scoot them down just a little. All right. Would you stand with me this morning? While Sister Becky sings, and I know that everyone here, Sister Earlene, Sister Dorina, some don't have much family. If you don't have any family, will you please gather together? If you don't have family here, you gather with them. But the very first thing I want you to do while Sister Becky's singing, on verse 1, I want you mothers to come. I want you stand around the front. Now, if you know there's a pretty big bunch of you, get to where you got a little room, okay? Now, I want you mothers to come and stand around the front. On verse number two, I want you fathers to come. Now, I want you to stand behind your wife. Now, I want you to whisper in her ears, "I'm going to pray for you while you pray for me. We're going to make it together." Then on verse number 3, I want all you children together around your parents. Now I know it's a little hard for some this morning, because all of a sudden we understand that some circles are going to be broken. This morning while I prayed, I realized some circles are going to be broken. While I was in here praying this morning, I surveyed and I looked over our families and I looked over our church. Some of you don't know everything, and some of you don't know everything that I know, and some of you don't know that I know some things. But I want to tell you, there's very few of our families in this church this morning that are not under attack by the devil. You hear me? And sometimes some of those things that you think are so important and so real and so big right now, they'll seem pretty small. They'll seem pretty small. If you don't have a mother or father or wife, go get with your other family. Brother Randy, get with your sisters. Sister Becky's family, I know somebody's got to play and somebody's got to sing. Brother Kevin, you and your children, come up here behind the piano bench, behind your wife. I want to tell you what's going to make this a strong church is when we have strong families. I've listened this week, the past 2 weeks, and I already didn't know how much to say this morning. I'm really tearing a little longer than I intended to. Sometimes children in the church, they get at odds with each other. Sometimes parents get involved. If you parents would stay out of it, it'd be a lot better. then we look at it, the church ought to be different. You know, the children that's in church, they ought not to ever squabble against one another. Well, let me tell you, your children at home do it. You make them say, "I'm sorry," at home. You make them fix it at home. You don't throw them out because they're fussing a little, do you? If you do, throw them over my direction. We'll take them. They fuss so bad you can't stand it. Just call me. I'll come and get one or two of them. I'll keep them for a day or two. What I'm saying is the devil uses everything that he can to attack us. Everything that he can to come against us. Everything he can to war against us. But I'm going to tell you, if we need anything this morning, we need strong families. I'm a family man, you hear me? I believe the family is the institution that God ordained for this church. All right, come on. Sister Becky's saying, "Moms, come on, I want you first. Come on this morning. Come on, moms.